Today we begin 40 days of intensified prayer, fasting, and almsgiving that culminate in the Easter celebration. As you know, when we leave church today, we will all leave with a cross on our forehead made of ashes. The ashes are what are left over after the palms or the branches from Palm Sunday were burned. And so the ashes represent repentance, the burning up, so to speak, of our sins and the transformation of our old self gradually into a new self. That's what the whole Christian life is meant to be, a gradual transformation from an old self to a new self that's under the influence of the Holy Spirit. This is what the Word of God is calling us to as we begin this day. We heard from the prophet Joel, "Even now, says the Lord, return to me with your whole heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning." And St. Paul calls us in a similar way in the second reading, "We implore you on behalf of Christ's name, be reconciled to God. We appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain." The prophet Joel and the apostle Paul are inviting each of us to a change of life, to see clearly with honesty what are our sins and bad habits, and to repent of them and turn more completely to the Lord. How do we get bad habits in the first place? By repeating bad actions. The more we repeat them, the easier it is to commit them. Take, for example, a young boy who goes to 7-Eleven. He wants a candy bar, but he doesn't have any money. So he thinks about stealing some candy. He feels anxiety and fear because he might get caught. But the desire for that candy is so great, he goes ahead and he steals a candy bar. He gets away. Nobody sees him. And so the next day, he returns to 7-Eleven with the desire to steal more candy. He still feels some fear, but not as much as yesterday. He snatches a handful of candy bars and gets away with them. After doing this every day for a week, he no longer feels fear and has a stronger desire than ever to steal candy. See, his conscience has become dull. And this happens to all of us in whatever bad habits we may have. But there's an answer. There is a way gradually to become free from our bad habits and find peace of mind. The first step is to realize that our bad habits destroy our peace and happiness, and that they control us. We don't control them. So we need to make a decision to avoid whatever the temptation is and to do something positive to break the habit. This is called penance. A penance is an action that counteracts the bad habit. Lent is a special time of grace to practice penance. What penance could that little boy who is stealing candy bars do? Well, the most obvious penance would be to give up candy. Give up candy for Lent. And perhaps not even go into the 7-Eleven until he loses the desire to steal. The alcoholic has to give up going to the bar or being around alcohol until the alcoholic has gone through a period of withdrawal and enters into recovery, and then no longer has the craving for the alcohol. But as long as he needs the alcohol to feel okay, he needs to stay away from alcohol, and he needs to get with other people who can help him get into recovery. That, of course, is what Alcoholics Anonymous is all about. So the first step in overcoming bad habits is to practice penance. Fasting is the most traditional penance, and it helps counteract any bad habit. In fact, early spiritual masters in our tradition, we call them the Desert Fathers, would tell people who were suffering from lust, from excessive sexual desire, from sexual addiction, would tell them, fast from food 1 or 2 days a week. And that control of your desire for food will also help you control your sexual desires. So it's like we're one composite unity, and fasting helps break any bad habit. So if I have the bad habit of irritability or overeating or taking drugs or cutting classes or gossiping, I can decide to fast one day a week during Lent. Now, what does that mean? Basic fasting in the Catholic Church means to eat only one meal and take just water and or fruit juice, you know, during the rest of the day, and perhaps have a couple of small snacks to maintain strength. Everybody is supposed to fast on Ash Wednesday, you know. You've all been fasting, haven't you? You better, or make it up tomorrow. Unless you're a senior citizen or a young child, you're off the hook. There's another way to fast. For example, you could just give up one of your favorite foods during Lent. Or you could give up a favorite TV show. Or you could give up some of your surfing the net or your texting. And then when you feel the hunger, you know, the hunger for that food or the hunger for the texting, when you decided to give up for this hour of the day, I'm not going to do any texting. You feel that kind of, you're into withdrawal, you're beginning to feel anxiety or the hunger. You just hold it up to the Lord as prayer. Say, Lord, I offer up this hunger. I offer up the giving up the TV program or the dessert or whatever it may be. I offer it up as a prayer that you will help free me from my bad habit. And maybe offer up that prayer for somebody else who's in need as well. Penance is important, but it's not enough to free us. We also need intensified prayer. One of the biggest obstacles in the Christian life is spiritual laziness. There's a technical term in the Christian tradition. It's called asedia. In Spanish, it's called desidia. And asedia or desidia, spiritual laziness, means I don't feel like praying, and so I don't pray. I don't feel like going to Mass on Sunday, so I don't go. Maybe I'll say a quick Our Father, a quick Hail Mary, but that's about it. On some Sundays, people prefer to play soccer or go to the mall or hang out with friends, but they ignore the Lord. They don't worship. They don't come to church to listen to the Word of God. They don't receive the body of Christ for spiritual nourishment. This is a spiritual disease, and it's very serious, asedia, because gradually, the less you pray, the less you want to pray, the less you think about God, and eventually, you can take him or leave him. It's like God's no big deal anymore because the conscience has become hard. The heart is hard. That's why it's so important to have a strong spiritual discipline every day of prayer and worshiping every Sunday. We can't be liberated from our bad habits by ourselves. We can't grow in friendship with God without prayer and worship. Without prayer and worship, we become indifferent to the Lord. Even people like us who come to church, we can become hard-hearted. We can become spiritually cold. So we all need to practice some penance and to intensify our prayer life. Lent is a wonderful opportunity to change and to grow. I'd like to leave you with three suggestions. First, spend some time every day reading and thinking about the Word of God. That's why last Sunday we passed out little black books to everybody who is here. And it has a little scripture for the day, a little reflection for the day. If you didn't get a little black book, just take the Gospel of Mark. And during Lent, slowly read the Gospel of Mark. Every day for, you know, 6-10 minutes, reading, thinking, reflecting. So that's the first recommendation. Read the Word of God every day during Lent, even if it's just for, you know, 6-7 minutes. Secondly, if your health allows it, practice traditional fasting one day a week, preferably on Friday, and offer up the fasting as a prayer for freedom from your bad habits and as intercession for people in need. Thirdly, practice almsgiving. Give some money. Give some money to the poor, to charities, to the church, but give more than usual. You should feel it. It should hurt a little bit. And offer that up as an act of love. Those are the three practices Jesus tells us in today's gospel we need to practice. Intensified prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. In a few minutes, a minister or myself will trace the sign of the cross on your forehead with the ashes and will repeat what Jesus proclaimed at the beginning of his ministry when he said, repent and believe in the gospel. Repent, change your mind, change your habits. Believe in the gospel. Believe in the good news. And the good news is that God has come into this world in the person of Jesus Christ, who came to forgive sins and to reconcile us to God and to each other. If we practice penance and intensified prayer during the next 40 days, we can be sure that we will experience what the prophet Joel proclaimed in today's first reading when he said, "Gracious and merciful is the Lord, slow to anger, rich in kindness, and relenting in punishment."